The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but
we have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston, broadcasting to 7 continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Friday Space Show. Great to be here. Thank you all for tuning in. Let me tell you a couple of announcements, and then we'll get right into our program and our guest. If you do want to call us today, and remember we're pushing for phone calls instead of using email, it is 1-866-687-7223. No call screener. Let the phone ring until it can be answered. We'll bring you up on air as quickly as possible. And if you do still want to use email, it is drspace@thespaceshow.com. And then please do remember that we're copyrighted and trademarked. You are absolutely welcome, in fact encouraged, to download these shows as MP3 files and to share them, pass them around. They're pretty hard to email because they're around 40 megabytes each, but you can use transferbigfiles.com or something like that. The idea is to sort of share the wealth and get the word out on why space is so important to all of us and all the different sectors, special interest groups, experts, programs going on, what space has that can interest just about everyone on the planet and for sure benefit everyone on the planet. Please don't do anything commercial with the shows. Do not edit them. And written transcripts are not permitted, even if for your own personal use. And if you have any questions about anything to do with the Space Show program or a specific program, do email me at drspace@thespaceshow.com. We thank Gigadial.net and Andrew Grummet because they provide us with outstanding podcasting service. The RSS URL is on our website, and both of our newsletters, which means that's where you go to subscribe to our podcast. We are in iTunes, Podcast Alley, AstroSpaceNow.com, YAstro.com, and Microsoft Zune. And if you have any podcasting questions, do please let me know. And then on our website, which again is thespaceshow.com, our comprehensive newsletter is there. It's uploaded Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. It has all of the details of the week's program, guest bios, and the future events section. In fact, that's the only place there is a future events section. And if we have a special announcement to make, you're going to find it first on the website newsletter. So do check it from time to time to make sure we haven't had to change a program or get something out to you. Everything we do is archived. You can listen to all of our shows going back to 2001 right off of our website, or you can easily download them. There's a Space Show store. You'll see it up near the top, Space Show Gear. Please do check it out. And above all, you'll see the very important Support the Space Show button. Remember, we're a 501c3 nonprofit with One Giant Leap Foundation.org. And we would not be here without your generous support. We thank those of you who do support us and those of you who will be supporting us. Remember, if you pay U.S. taxes, you do get a tax deduction. If you pay California taxes, you also get a state of California deduction, as we are a public benefit California corporation. Don't forget the Space Show is brought to you in part by the Secure World Foundation, promoting cooperative solutions for space security. And for more information, do visit their website, secureworldfoundation.org. So that brings me to our program together, one of my favorite guests, and certainly one of my top two or three conferences ever, is back on the topic today. Dr. Pat Patterson is with us. We'll be talking about the SmallSat conference, which you hear me reference all the time during the year. So Dr. Patterson is the Director of Technology Innovation with Utah State Space Dynamics Lab and is the chairman of the AIAA USU Utah State University SmallSat Conference, which we talk about each year on the program. And he has held positions as the Director of Innovative Science and Engineering Division, as well as the Director of Business Development at Utah State University and the Space Dynamics Lab. He has more than 20 years of space experience. His bio is up on the website, and it's been there for years because he's been a guest on the show many times. Rather than reading about him, you can do that on your own. Pat, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm super. How are you today? Great to be back.
I'm doing fine. So tell us a little overview, I guess, for the new listeners about SmallSat. There will probably be people who haven't heard you before. And then let's get into specifics for this year.
Absolutely. Well, this year is our 25th anniversary, which is a milestone in itself, you know, to keep something like this going for so long. We've this conference started by a guy named Frank Redd. He was also working with Gil Moore, who many of you know, and a gentleman named Rex McGill. They're really the founders of the conference. And I remember a story that Frank used to tell me. He went out to a meeting. I think it was at Johns Hopkins APL, but it was some sort of a small fat thing 25 years ago. And he handed out a few brochures and said, hey, we'd like to start a small satellite conference in Logan, Utah. And he told me, he said he had the audacity to call it to label it the very first of many small satellite conferences at Utah State University. And I guess it worked because here we are 25 years later and we're still growing strong and growing and trying hard as we can to meet the industry's needs.
By the way, listeners, if you're not familiar with Utah State, it is in Logan, Utah, which is, depending on traffic and road construction, anywhere from maybe 90 minutes to 2.5 hours from Salt Lake City's airport. Is that, right. that about right?
Yeah, it's pretty close. Usually 90 minutes is about right, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been stuck in their road construction.
depends on what time of day you drive.
I mean, sometimes, you know, that is, well, anyway. What's in store for this year's SmallSat? And by the way, by SmallSat, you also mean CubeSat. You have a lot of academic programs. The student opportunities are the best of any conference I've ever been to.
Yeah, we have a lot of side meetings, a lot of additional side meetings, and you can find those on our website at www.smallsat.org. But I'll go through and touch on
Some take it. Yeah, and listeners, you should open up their website and be on it with us. Again, it is www.smallsat.org. Okay, go for
right,
it. What,
right.
What's in store for this year?
Well, let's see. So this year's conference is coming right up. It's around the corner. It's August 8th through the 11th here at Utah State University's campus here in Logan, Utah. It is the theme we chose because it's been our 25th anniversary. It's 25 years of progress, endless prospects for the future. We have three keynotes this year. We did that at the 20th. We usually only have one keynote speaker, but this year we have three. Kicking the conference off on Monday, it'll be about 1 o'clock Monday afternoon. That, we try and do that so that people have time to fly in on Monday morning or whatnot. But we'll have Bruce Carlson, General Bruce Carlson, retired Air Force. He's the director of the National Reconnaissance Office. He'll be speaking on Monday afternoon and really talking about how the NRO is investigating using smaller spacecraft in the future to do some of their missions. And then on Tuesday, we've got Dr. Robert Gold. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. He's the messenger science payload manager. And most of you know that Messenger recently went into orbit, or I say recently, but it's really, I guess it was on St. Patrick's Day, so it's been a while back. But it went into orbit around the planet Mercury. And the nice thing there is we don't have a whole lot of planetary missions that are done by small spacecraft, but we do consider this a small spacecraft. It was 1,200 kilograms, but about half that was fuel. So it's really a 600-kilogram spacecraft. So in terms of planetary missions, that's certainly pretty small. And then on Wednesday, we've got Dr. Robert Braun, Bobby Braun, most everybody knows him by. He's the chief technologist for NASA, and he's going to go through their roadmap and talk about where they're headed at NASA and all the different good things they've got going on, including some of the solicitations that they have out on the street, like the NIAC, which is the NASA Innovative Advanced Concepts. solicitation, the technology development missions solicitation, and the UIST, which is the Unique and Innovative Space Technologies, where they're trying to fund organizations to move things from a sort of a basic research into the applied research, you know, basically upping the TRL level. So those are, we've got some pretty good keynotes. I'm just thrilled. These guys really are, they really focus on the things that our attendees like to see. Let's see. So that's sort of the keynotes. And we have a panel this year again. We've kind of gotten into this every other year panel thing. This year we've got a panel which is going to be talking about game-changing technology needs for the future. And on that panel we have Dr. Peter Wegner, who's the director of the Operational Responsive Space Office, Sir Martin Sweeting, who's the executive chairman of Surrey Satellite Technologies, and Peter Klupar, who many of you know, he's the director of engineering at NASA Ames. So that should be a pretty good panel, and I think those guys will have a good round table.
Now, really, which panel is this? I'm looking on the website so listeners can go along with me.
Yeah, I think the panel is...
Is this session 5, panel discussion?
Panel is on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
So I think in that morning we'll have Dr. Robert Gold talk as the keynote.
Okay, found it. Yeah, it's session 5 panel discussion, listeners, if you want to follow on with us.
And then that panel will be in the afternoon. And the interesting thing is we've tried in the past, and it's worked pretty well. It's been kind of interesting for us. We have a audience participation thing. We've got these things called iClickers that the iClicker company allows us to use, and so we're able to ask questions and get sort of do surveys of how the audience feels, and then the panelists can react to, you know, what the audience says, and they don't always agree. so it's kind of a good way to bring up and talk about some things. This is also the 19th year of the Frank J. Redd Student Scholarship Competition, and that will be held this week. And we've got some great papers. We had a whole bunch of people send in some really good papers. We've down selected them to the top 6. And they will be presenting their papers in one of the sessions at the conference. We've also expanded our exhibits. As most of you know, those who have attended before, we used to be in a smaller area because it just met our needs, called the Eccles Conference Center. And in the Eccles Conference Center, we only had around about 75-ish different exhibit spaces. But now that we've moved into the new arena, the new venue, which is the Taggart Student Center, we've essentially taken over the entire Taggart Student Center. We've been able to expand pretty dramatically. So we've got over 100 professional exhibit spaces and 12 university spaces. So we've seen, you know, a 30%+ growth in exhibit spaces. Now, because we have so many more exhibits, we felt we really needed more time for people to go visit all the exhibits and talk to everybody they wanted to. So we've expanded our exhibit schedule to where it goes now from 11 a.m. Monday morning until Thursday at 11 a.m. We used to stop Wednesday night, but we're going to carry it on through the day until basically, essentially the lunch break on Thursday.
So you've actually added another day.
We have. In terms of exhibits, we have, correct. And we've actually added a couple. We've added an entire session. So we're going to go deeper into the afternoon. I think we go till like 2 o'clock or something like that on Thursday. So a pretty good week. And then since this is our 25th year, we're going to have a celebration, a 25th year celebration. That'll be on Wednesday night. It's at 6 o'clock. And I know some of you are familiar with the we have a unique little area here in Logan called the American West Heritage Center, where they take people through and show them how, you know, things were done in the old times. They make horseshoes and weave baskets and make clothes and throw hatchets and all sorts of fun stuff. And we're going to have a party that Wednesday night out there. Everybody's invited to attend the conference. Excuse me, exhibitors and registrants and things. And should be a good time. We'll have a band and lots of good food and some of the local drinks from around the state of Utah. And that's real close to Logan. That's just 7 miles south of Logan. So it's kind of a get out in the outback and have a little fun. And then we'll also have, you know, we also have the Monday night social, the opening social. So that'll be like 6:30. That's down here at the Space Dynamics Lab. We have a nice little pond area down here, and so that'll go from 6:30, essentially till dark. And we've got a good band there, and a lot of drinks and great food, and so that should be fun as well. So,
okay, and listeners, I can tell you that their exhibit area and the booths. I mean, they're probably the best of any conference I've been to. And for those of you that are commercial space fans, let me give you a plug, because this is the only place where you will find real commercial companies. I'm not talking BS now. Really doing things to make a profit, to sell to other industry partners, users, as well as all factions of the government that have an interest in their product. They're real private commercial companies. This is not, you know, like they're needing, you know, the government to support them through CCDEV or COTS. No, this is commercial space, entrepreneurial space at its best, and it's thriving. You can talk to the people with these companies. They all have, you know, material and information. And for those of you who want to see a robust commercial space market, this is its headquarters. I cannot stress that enough. And I do this every year. And it's not new space. It's not all the other stuff where you hear advocates and people pushing commercial, commercial, commercial. Here, they're really doing it. You can meet the companies. They know how to make money. They know how to market. They know how to develop innovative products. If you're interested in commercial space development, this is the center of it. Sorry for the interruption, but, you know, I just have to keep saying that over and over again, Pat, because I hear the hype and the BS with everybody citing commercial, 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 and they only sell to the government, and they're only funded by the government.
Right.
And
right.
You know, okay, cool. That's another segment of the industry. But that is not what you will find in this exhibit hall at SmallSat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What's your favorite part of SmallSat? Have I ever asked you that before?
I don't know if you've asked me that before. I think, well, for me personally, my favorite part is, you know, so I've been doing this for about 15 years, and I think my favorite part is just getting together and being able to catch up with the friends that I've made, you know, over the years, and finding out how they're doing and what neat projects they're working on. And invariably, it ends up that, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the road after the conference, a lot of the contacts that I've gotten back in touch with, you know, we are writing proposals together, working together on some project, or trying to do some research together that benefits the small satellite industry. So even for me, it really is a great opportunity for me to do, you know, sort of business development activities and rekindle those old working relationships that allow us to go after future opportunities.
Here's your first question. Judy is in Los Angeles and says, I've been to SmallSat a few times. Do you still have the opening dinner Monday night and tours of the Space Dynamics Center?
We do, absolutely. So, and that's the one, the opening social, that'll be at 6:30 Monday night. So we'll conclude, we'll do the keynote speech, then we have a session or two, and then right after that we come down to SDL and we're going. We've got a band. There'll be a line. There'll be a sign-up booth once you get down to the Space Dynamics Lab, and you can sign up to go on tours. There's another small company here called TMT, Thermal Management Technologies. They are actually a spinoff of Utah State University, and they are developing some really cool thermal technologies that could be used for small spacecraft. And they're gonna, I know they're gonna offer up some tours of their location too. So. Good opportunity to just kind of see what's here, and if you haven't been on the tours before, it's just kind of a good opportunity to find out, you know, what's happening here in northern Utah.
Did I ever tell you what happened when I had to get my eyeglasses fixed in Logan? And it related back to SmallSat. It was really
weird. No, I remember you told me, but I don't remember.
I have special glasses with prisms in them, and they're in Japanese frames, and they broke while I was at Logan about 2 or 3 years ago. So I called the guys back home who made them for me, and they did some research, and they told me to go to this company in Logan, and it's near the Hampton Court Hotel. I don't remember the name of it. So I went in there, and they've got pictures of rockets being launched all over the wall of the place. So we started talking to the guy, and he went to Utah State and studied engineering, and he has made in the past some kind of lenses or laser lenses or something for the Space Dynamics Lab and the space program in NASA, was very familiar with the SmallSat conference. He spent about 2 hours fixing my glasses, didn't charge me a thing, loved the space program, loved having gone to Utah State and being involved in the program. And all of those rocket launches were the launches that his lens, whatever it was, that he had ground and made for NASA, were flown on. And again, if I'm in Logan and my glasses break again, I remember where he's located, but I don't remember his name or the name of the company. But your reach for SmallSat and the lab is so well known and so highly respected around town. It was pretty unbelievable, when we had that experience.
Yeah, right. So, well, that's cool. We got to get his name, and I'll make sure we get
Well, you know what? I will, when I'm back there this year, I'll go by where the place is and find out and go in and find out who the guy was. But he's an older guy now, so this was probably several years ago. But
yeah. We just had, just not to change the subject too much, but you were talking about sort of the reach into the community and the Space Dynamics Lab, which was separate from the Small Satellite Conference, but it's definitely kind of what really brought the focal point of space to Utah State University. It's been around for about 50 years, but with the ending of the shuttle program, we recently had kind of a celebration party to celebrate the shuttle, and we were adding up some numbers, and we have flown 59 experiments on the space shuttle, which is more than, at least to our knowledge, we believe, more than any other university in the world. So we're kind of proud of that, And I know all over the valley they refer to us as the space lab.
So is this from the Space Dynamics Lab or Utah State, or is Utah State considered the parent?
Utah State is our parent, so we are, and that includes the Small Satellite Conference. So Utah State University has several different organizations, one of which is CAS, Center for Atmospheric and Space Sciences. Those are mainly they're in the physics department. They're the folks who are really trying to understand the atmosphere and the ionosphere and all the impacts and space weather and global warming and all that sort of stuff. So they're the science-minded fellows. And then down here at the Space Dynamics Lab, we essentially build hardware to help them prove or disprove their theories that they have. So we kind of team up with them in a PI hardware builder sort of relationship. So although many of those 59 were actually done as the Utah State University being the lead, we supported dramatically in all of the getting the hardware up and ready for launch and that sort of stuff. So we're pretty proud of that.
So that's almost on 50% of the shuttle flights you had a project.
That's right.
Pretty awesome.
Yep, pretty awesome for a little company out in North Logan,
Plus, you make ice cream.
We do. We have great ice cream. Maggie ice cream is just good. Yeah, it's just flat good when you come here. You got to get some.
What is your conference theme this year?
The conference theme is, 25 years of progress, endless prospects for the future. So what we're really trying to get our hands around, every year we try and have a different theme and the theme of the day, but we really felt that this time we wanted to sort of take a little bit of a look back and say, when most of us were coming into this game and starting doing the small satellite game, let's just reflect back and see what we were really doing, and how were we approaching the development and what kind of launch vehicles did we have and how hard was it to get things flown in space and what were the different issues we had to deal with and how has that changed now? And then the intent of the panel that we're going to have, that panel on, is it Tuesday, right? The panel's on Tuesday. That, the real intent there is to look forward and to say, okay, what are the technology needs that if small satellites are going to continue, which I, in my heart of heart, believe that they're going to, what are the technology drivers that all of us in this community need to develop so that small satellites, continue to move from the small, I don't want to say toys because they're obviously not toys, but towards a more traditional, operational, incredibly beneficial asset to the world space, to the world space assets.
Here's another question from you, Paul, in San Diego. I too have been to a couple of SmallSat conferences. I'm on your website, and I am stunned, impressed, and elated that you actually are doing a tour this year to Hill Aerospace Museum. Can you please talk about that? This, I believe, is the first time you've done that, although I have taken time off myself with friends to drive down and see the Hill Air Force Base Museum.
So we've been working with the AIAA chapter here in the state of Utah, and they have some people down at Hill Air Force Base, and they have offered up the ability to go down and take a tour of the museum, and that's going to be on Friday after the conference is over. I'll find out more details, and after the break I'll get you the exact times and whatnot. But basically, anybody at the conference that wants to come down or maybe head that way on their way home to the airport, they will have people set up to take you on a tour and kind of get a little special tour above and beyond what they typically provide there.
I have been there. I had to take time off from the conference to go to it. It is a really, really cool museum. And, you know, for people who like aviation and the history and even Russian aviation, I mean, it is all inclusive. And I can't recommend it enough. But you also, I'm looking at your special events catalog. So you're, again, having the CubeSat workshop. You want to talk about that?
We are, absolutely. Sonia handed me a note here. If you go to our website, you can get the contact name on our, it's on the additional meetings page for that Hill Air Force Base Museum tour.
Okay.
And they will be open for all of our attendees between 9 and 4:30 on Friday. So you roll in there and show them your badge and tell them you're with the conference, and they'll have a whole staff there ready to take you on a little VIP tour.
And it is well worth it, listeners. CubeSat workshop, but you have to register separately for this, right?
You do, but you can get find all the links on our website. So the additional meetings that we have, you know, it's really and I appreciate this, and I really am happy about this, because a lot of the small sat community is here already, so they're just leveraging the fact that they've got all the people here. But the 8th annual CubeSat Developers Workshop, now this is a student-run workshop put on by the folks from Cal Poly. They will be having their workshop on Saturday and Sunday, August 6th and 7th, and that's up on campus at Utah State. That's a fairly well-attended conference, a little side meeting, and it's good. It's good for anybody in the CubeSat world. That's probably where you definitely want to spend a little bit of time. Then on Monday, we've got the AIAA and the Standards Organization, the ISO, I think that's International Standards Organization.
Right.
They're having a space standard status report that they're going to give, and that's August the 8th from 10 to 12. Again, that's on campus and real easy to find there. It'll be up there by the Student Center, and you can again, get that from our webpage. On Thursday, we're going to have a NASA town hall meeting, and it's run out of the Office of the Chief Technologist. Bobby Braun's going to be here, and he's going to speak on Wednesday. And so then after that, they're going to go into more detail. But that's from on August the 11th, Thursday, from 2:30 to 4:30. And again, that's on campus, and everybody's invited to attend that. And I think they're going to give a whole lot more details on some of these solicitations and where NASA's headed in terms of small satellite technologies. Another side meeting we have, which we've had for many years now, is the Air Force's NanoSat PDR. They have a preliminary design review where several universities from across the country are able to get a few bucks from the Air Force to move forward and do a small spacecraft, develop a small spacecraft. And what the Air Force is looking for are really feedback and some assistance from the professionals around the industry to sort of be the PDR review team. These students work really hard throughout the year, and this is an opportunity for them to stand up in front of some people who have gone through the issues that you deal with in space every day and give feedback and say, hey, these are areas that you want to watch out for. These are areas where we think you're solid. Don't worry too much about those, and really help them focus in. That's on Thursday, August the 11th. It starts at 2:30, goes till 5 o'clock, and then Friday, August 12th, it's pretty much an all-day event from 8 to 4. David Voss, who is down at the Air Force Research Lab in Kirtland, at Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, he runs that program right now and has just done a wonderful job. And you can find out if you'd like to help, this is really one where they could use some help. So if you have a little bit of spare time and you'd like to see what's going on in the student community, and you can lend a few hours, it'll really benefit the program. You can go on our website, get a hold of David Voss, and he'll give you everything you need. Then on Thursday, we also have, Thursday afternoon, we have the Operational Responsive Space Industry Day. Now, this is a classified meeting. It will be held at the secret no foreign level, so the attendance is fairly well guarded. But you can, there's a form that's required to be filled out to attend that. But you can download that from our website, or you can go out on FedBizOps and find it. But it's the ORS Industry Day, and that will be held from Thursday, that August the 11th, from 2 to 5. Now, that's held actually down here at the Space Dynamics Lab because we do have the larger facilities to be able to deal with a classified meeting. And those forms are due. So if you want to attend that, those forms are due on July the 28th. So it's probably best to go to our site, download that fairly quickly, fill it in, and get it off to the folks at the Operation Responsive Space Office. And they do, every year, they do a really good job of sort of updating you and highlighting you on what the programs are coming up. Obviously, they just had the ORS-1 launch here not too long ago, so they'll probably give a review, an overview of how that's going, which has been, to date, well, at least what I've heard, it's gone really well. Anyway, great opportunity to catch up on the ongoings of the ORS office. So, but again, you do have to fill out a security form and get that all taken care of with the ORS office.
And before we end our first segment and take a break, let's talk specifically about registration, which is on the website. Listeners, you can do it online. And if you do register before August 1st, the fee will be $575. It then jumps up almost $200 for a registration after that, or on-site, $750.
Right.
Hotels are tight. You need to act sooner, not later. Anything else? And all of this is available online, and they have links to the various hotels and their
websites.
Anything you want to add about registration?
Well, I was just going to say, it really, I know everybody realizes this, but it really is beneficial to us. And that's why we've put in the significant difference in cost between $575 if you register now before August 1st or $750 if you register sometime after that. It's really beneficial to us because we have to do food counts and sodas and snacks and shirts. We have to order shirts and the giveaways that we're giving. We have to order all that stuff. And we really try and get a handle on how many people are coming, and we have to do that by August 1st. So that's why we had the cutoff date. So anybody who can register beforehand, not only will it save you money, it'll be very beneficial to the conference and as we get ready for that. So.
Okay, and you have a student registration. You want to mention that?
We do. We have a student registration rate for $150. So all they have to do is be a full-time student at an accredited university, and they can come for $150.
And is there a retired person registration?
I don't.
Because I know AIAA has that. I just don't know whether it's passed on to...
We do not. We do not have a retired rate, but that's certainly be something to look into.
An old codger rate, I guess.
A codger rate, right. A curmudgeon rate. We'll look at a curmudgeon rate.
No, because you can be young and be a curmudgeon.
Oh, okay.
So, you know. But, okay, so listeners, it's all online. And so when you go to SmallSat, you'll see their menu over on the left-hand side. And you really want to click on registration. And if you're going to go, not to register before August 1st is kind of stupid. So I urge you all to do that. And now we'll take our first break, and we'll be back with Pat in about 3 minutes. And again, we welcome your calls over emails, 1-866-687-7223. Back in 3 minutes.
The Space Show thanks its listeners for their generous support. The Space Show now joins forces with the One Giant Leap Foundation to further advance space education and the establishment of a spacefaring society and culture in America and the world. One Giant Leap Foundation is a tax-exempt organization with the purpose of advancing space education and development along with The Space Show. Your support of The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation helps get the word out as to why space is so essential and important to us all. So join with us by going to www.thespaceshow.com and clicking on the Support The Space Show button. Your contribution will help The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation in continuing its work and bringing you the programming you want free of charge on a continued basis. And remember, your gift to the Space Show is tax deductible.
The mission of the Space Show is to promote future economic opportunities, scientific discoveries, and medical advances for all humankind through peaceful and cooperative ventures in outer space. The Space Show intends to be the forum by which space exploration becomes an integral part of our culture, our economy, our country, our world, and our global vision, in which all nations unite in creating a thriving future through the enormous potentials afforded by off-Earth opportunities. The Space Show is committed to advancing integrity and responsibility, both in our off-Earth conduct and in the potential long-range consequences of our actions in space. The Space Show wants to make the dreams of space today the realities of tomorrow.
And hello again, listeners. Welcome to our Friday morning Space Show. Our guest today, Dr. Pat Patterson, we're talking about the SmallSat Conference, www.smallsat.org. Pat, how has the application and demand for SmallSats changed or evolved over the years, and what do you think the role of the SmallSat Conference has been in promoting and supporting that change and expansion?
Well, you know, I wish I had, I just don't have the numbers to show, you know, where we've come from 25 years ago to where we are today. But I did write, I read an interesting article from a guy, it was in the Via Satellite magazine, which I found on www.satellitetoday.com. It was by Giovanni Verlini. Berlini, I guess is how you say his name, and it lists some interesting data. He talks about that over the past 15 years, and they sort of they use small sats. Their number that they use is 1,200 pounds or less. But there's been over the past 15 years, there's been about 350 small satellites launched into space, and 90% of those, and this is going back to what you were talking about earlier. 90% of those have been either for government, civil government, or Department of Defense, or academia. And only 10% of those to date have really been used for commercial. So, but we're now seeing the commercial industry, obviously they're budget constrained just like everybody else is. They are starting to utilize the advanced technologies that are being developed throughout the small satellite community. To be able to do some of the things that they have at hand. So they're getting smaller, cheaper. That allows them to build the things faster, and it just saves them money overall. 90% of those 350-plus spacecraft that have been launched the last 15 years have been sent to LEO. So very few of them have been sent to GEO and other orbits, but most of them are in LEO. And of that, a major portion of them are used for basically technology demonstration, Earth observation, and space science. So how has the Small Satellite Conference helped? I don't think we probably haven't been the driver of anything. I think more than anything, we just provide a forum for people in the industry to come together and talk. Just a meeting place, a meeting of the minds where everybody is here for the same reason, to talk about either how to launch small satellites into space and figure out how to get rides into space, which, as you know, space access for especially for small satellites is a big deal. Another one is, you know, the satellites themselves, the technology, the communications, the ground stations. Everybody is coming together with sort of the same focus in mind. You know, what can their organizations do to develop technologies that will push the small satellite industry forward? So I think more than anything, we're probably just a forum for those smart people to come together and share ideas and talk.
From what I can see, it is a great forum, but there's an enormous amount of networking and people come to make deals as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I don't think that can be overlooked, because if there wasn't this conference, one would have to be invented, because there sort of needs to be a marketplace for small sat companies, scholars, students, those that want to enter the market. This conference provides all of that.
Yeah, we have set up, and especially it's been really nice to move over to the Taggart Student Center, because we have so much more space. But there are lots and lots of places where, you know, you'll see a group of guys, four or five guys, walking down the hall, and they're from different companies or even with the customers, walking down the hall, and they just go sit down and talk for half an hour, an hour, and try and figure out, you know, what's coming down the road, what they can team on, what kind of ideas they're looking for, what technologies they should be developing. And so we have, you know, side meetings that are just ad hoc sort of side meetings happening nonstop all day long. And I think that's probably the real benefit. People will get up on stage, give a paper, give a technical paper, and, you know, maybe half the audience has never heard of or didn't realize that that organization was developing that technology. And sure enough, as soon as that person gets pulled off the stage, they're sitting out under a tent outside drinking a sipping on lemonade and talking business with customers. So it is a great opportunity for people to get their technologies out there and let people know what they do and interface with the customers.
excuse me, absolutely. Here's another email question from you. Larry is in Phoenix. And Larry said, can you elaborate on your scholarship programs that I've heard about through my school, Arizona State, and student programs at SmallSat? I would like to see or participate next year in an Arizona State project if my school does anything with SmallSat.
Absolutely. Now, that was Larry?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Arizona State has been very influential in our student program over the years. Several years ago, we always seemed to have some folks from Arizona State providing papers. We have the one thing which I'm probably the most proud of is the student scholarship competition that we have, and we named that after Frank Redd, the Frank J. Redd Student Scholarship Competition. But what we do is we get funding from different organizations and people, and we are able to give away about $30,000 a year in scholarships. Students, we have, you know, anywhere between 25 and 30 papers that are provided to us every year from students at the different universities, elaborating and talking about the work that they've been doing, the research work that they've been doing at their university. Something to do with space. Sometimes they're star cameras and sensors. Sometimes they're spacecraft attitude control. Sometimes they're payloads that fly. Sometimes they're communication networks. Those sorts of things. But they provide those, and we have a panel of judges, which, again, you know, provide. They kindly donate their time to read these, but they down-select. They basically score all the papers. They down-select those, and we go down to six. And then of the final six participants, we invite them to SmallSat, and we have a session set up specifically for them. And they will present their findings and their work to the SmallSat community. These are people who understand what's going on. They can talk very, very technical. They can talk about the business issues and the technical issues associated with their work. And those six are then scored on their presentation ability. So then the two scores are added together. You've got the paper itself and then the presentation, and you score those together. And that afternoon, I think that's on Wednesday morning, and then on Wednesday afternoon, we actually hand out the money right there on the spot and give away the winnings. We typically give $10,000 to the first place award. And then we give money all the way down to the sixth place so that those folks, the theory is that, you know, if we give away $1,500 or so, even to the last place people, and they are excellent. Every one of these is excellent. These are really the cream of the crop students around the country and around the world, really. We get people from all over the world. That gives them hopefully enough money to at least fund a major portion of their expenses to come to the conference so that they don't have to spend money out of their own pocket to actually come to the conference. It's amazing, and I'll tell you what, it has become probably what I believe is the absolute best interview you'll ever find, because these guys write some excellent papers. They get up on stage, and sure enough, you'll see, as soon as they get off stage, different organizations will be going and taking these students off to the side and saying, hey, you sound like somebody we want to be hiring at our organization. You're doing exactly the kind of work that we want to be doing, and it's not, you know, it happens quite often where people will get several job offers that day, the day they actually give their presentations. So,
now, one thing that I want to mention about this, and correct me if I'm wrong, this scholarship money goes directly to the student, not to the university. There's no skimming off the top of it.
Correct.
For university overhead, right?
Correct. Absolutely correct. If you get first place, you get $10,000 cash in your pocket, period. And then they are able to use that for whatever they need. The intent is to be able to use it to pay for their books and tuition and things like that, but they get that money. Now, the thing we do, which we have seen some benefit from here recently, is that if you are the first place award recipient, your professor, your major professor from your university, gets to attend the next year's conference for free. So we will comp their registration for the next year. So it's really in the best interest of the professors to hopefully help their students to write a good paper, give a good presentation, and try and win this thing.
Outstanding. Now, the student booths, where they often team together with projects,
yep.
That's something different, correct?
Yeah, it is. It is. So that's just the student scholarship competition. Then we have the booths, which we have 12 student booths, and many of those are students and teams. They usually bring teams of students, and those are teams of people who are usually involved in the NanoSat program, the Air Force NanoSat program, but they don't have to be. And so you'll see Texas A&M University, Arizona State, Utah State University, Colorado, you know, Johns Hopkins, APL, MIT, Cal Poly, all those, they'll have four or five students there manning the booth and talking to people. And the professionals love, you know, we love to go over there and talk to those guys and see what they're doing and get excited about what they're doing and try and help them and really kind of, you know, do some on-the-spot, you know, interviews and see if there's any students in there that we think would meet our needs. So it's a great opportunity to get in, figure out really what's going on in the small satellite community, get an interface with a whole bunch of really top-notch professionals around the community, and quite often come away with a job interview.
Outstanding. excuse me. In all of this, by the way, you can find out all of this information. It's on their website. So,
right. The other thing I should mention,
yeah.
Is that we also have sessions which are really aligned with the student papers. So there will be typically a session on CubeSats, which talks about, you know, it's basically more lined up for university-type programs. And so, anyway, those are good things. So not only can the students come to a booth or could they present at the student scholarship competition, but they could also get into one of the sessions. This year's session is called The Next Generation. And it's basically a session which is dedicated to students at universities and their professors. It could be the professor speaking or it could be the student speaking, but basically talking about the research that is happening at their university.
This is Roger, is in Denver, Colorado. I understand it's too late for this year, but can you go over the submission process if you want to submit a paper to SmallSat for the next year's conference?
Right, absolutely, and that's a great question. So for 2012, so this is for next year now, the conference will be held August 13 to the 16th of 2012. So we have abstracts for that year are due on February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. So what we would suggest, we always suggest, is that about the time December rolls around, that first week or so of December, get on our website and we'll give you the exact dates. You'll have the formats, how to submit the abstracts, all that sort of information, how long they need to be and all that sort of stuff. Then when you come back from the holiday break, you know, you'll see people spending, you know, a little bit of time in January to try and prep their abstracts to turn in on February the 14th.
And then when do you find out if you're accepted and when do you have to do a final paper?
They have in duration before they find out how long, before they find out if their abstract was submitted, round about 6 weeks or something like that. And then they'll be responded to, and then after that, once they find out that they've been accepted, then they have another maybe June or something like that, sort of late June to get their paper in order. That's really the hardest part, you know. If you can spend an hour or two putting together an abstract, get that in by February the 14th. 5 or 6 weeks later, you'll find out whether you are accepted. And then by late June, you'll have to have the full paper plugged in.
Okay, so there you have it. If you want to submit, what kind of topics generally does someone submit a paper to? Because it is a focused and targeted conference, correct?
It is. We try to keep it as technical as possible. Oftentimes, we will have some business areas, but we try and keep it focused. one thing that I could, maybe I'll just go through some of the sessions we have this year, and this is very similar to what we have every year.
Okay, let's do one. One is
mission payloads, you know, where we actually want to talk about the different payloads that drive the missions, and so that's kind of a science perspective. We always talk about the launch aspect of it. This year we call it from 0 to 7.5 kilometers per second, but it's launch vehicles and ride shares and things like that. We always have a lessons learned and a reflections on the past and on the horizon programs which are coming up that people, UNIS, may want to get the word out about, hey, we're going to launch a satellite next year, and here's what it's going to do and its capabilities and that sort of stuff. But we also have, really, I would say the main focus are enabling technologies. So if your organization has a new thing, a widget that is advancing the technology or allowing small spacecraft to become smaller or have better capability or higher resolution imaging or better attitude control, that we have two entire sessions dedicated to just advanced technologies. So this year we actually did we do have one on communications. Every year it depends on how many different papers we get in on different areas, but we set one up just this year on communications because we had quite a few. So it's those types of areas, you know.
So listeners, take a lead from that, and obviously if you have some questions, it's always best to reach out and ask them before you blow it. So, you know, Pat is available to people, and if you're going to go there this year, he certainly is easy to meet and talk with. And you can always get a hold of him through email, either directly or through me.
Right.
So best to ask before you blow your opportunity. So,
you know, yeah, I was going to say the other thing you can do is on our website, our conference administrator is Sonia Warner, and Sonia is always happy to sort of give people some guidance. And so if you have any questions at all, give her, and she's just a sweetheart. She'll help you through the process, make it easy for you.
Okay, listeners, that's it. We're pretty close at the bottom of the hour, so if we take our break now, we'll come back and we'll have a full segment to do for our third segment. So let's take our pause now. Again, listeners, instead of email questions, telephone is preferable. 1-866-687-7223, and we're going to be back again with our third and final segment in about 3 minutes. Don't go anyplace.
The Space Show thanks its listeners for their generous support. The Space Show now joins forces with the One Giant Leap Foundation to further advance space education and the establishment of a spacefaring society and culture in America and the world. One Giant Leap Foundation is a tax-exempt organization with the purpose of advancing space education and development along with The Space Show. Your support of The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation helps get the word out as to why space is so essential and important to us all. So join with us by going to www.thespaceshow.com and clicking on the Support The Space Show button. Your contribution will help The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation in continuing its work and bringing you the programming you want free of charge on a continued basis. And remember, your gift to The Space Show is tax deductible.
I'm Dr. David Livingston, creator and host of The Space Show, and I would like to share my vision with you for not only this radio program, but for space development. Space should be like any other place we choose to visit, work in, or call our home. It should be just another destination, like Tahiti, Hawaii, or any place available to us right now on Earth. When this vision becomes reality, we will be spacefaring in our culture, our economy, our society, and in our lives. Our world will be vastly improved by countless space-related benefits, transforming our lives both in space and right here on Earth. And The Space Show is helping to make this vision a global reality. And welcome back, everybody. We are in The Space Show on Friday. This is our third and final segment. We're talking about the SmallSat Conference at Utah State in Logan, Utah. And we're talking to Dr. Pat Patterson. So, Pat, I know from previous years, you count on, rely on, and have unbelievable service is probably the wrong word, but service from a whole cadre of volunteers. You want to say something about your support network?
We do. So, you know, as a nonprofit conference, we try, and you know, what we're really trying to do is make this something that is good for the community, for the small satellite community, and we are just doing our darndest to try and keep costs down. And we're very lucky that we have a wonderful community in which we work, where people are donating. They donate their time, and I just can't tell you how important that is for us to keep the cost down on the conference. We really rely on the people who attend the conference to make the conference happen. You know, we get 20 countries from 350 organizations, including commercial, military, academia, and civil. We'll have over 1,000 attendees this year, you know, 100 exhibit spaces. We're growing at a fairly good clip. Our exhibit space has grown about 30% the last couple of years, and we're getting somewhere around 75 or so more people each year attend this thing. And in order to do that, we really have to rely on the community. So we send out a request and really ask for help, and we love it, absolutely love it when people come to us and say, hey, I'd like to help. You know, how can I get involved? And we know that everybody doesn't have a few spare minutes during the year, but if you'd like to get involved, we'd certainly love to have you. You know, we need support from session chairs to get up and introduce and run the each of the sessions. That's very, very helpful to us. We have student competition judges and they review an awful lot of papers, and it's interesting. It's good work. It's hard work. You know, you got to spend 8 or 12 hours reviewing those papers, but it's fun to do. We have abstract reviewers that review all the abstracts and help us pick. We don't rely on ourselves, although we think we have a fairly firm handle on what's important in the community. We always go out and get extra reviewers to help us score those abstracts so that we can really get the sense from the community what's important and what's not important and what should be up on stage and things like that, and that's very helpful. We also have, you know, like this year we've got 23 paid sponsors, and they pay for the breaks and the munch and mingles and the sodas and the cookies and everything that's sitting out there, the coffee, everything that's sitting out there. Those are paid for by our sponsors, and that really, really helps us, and we leverage them to keep this thing under control in terms of cost. We want everybody to be able to attend this. So are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay, I heard a little beep. I thought maybe I lost you.
Oh, no, that wasn't on my end.
But
yeah.
But there's just a ton of people who, and they're companies, by the way, too. They really donate their time to support us. And a few people I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned is the committee, the conference committee. We have a core committee where we set the theme for the year, set the tone. We invite the session chairs and invite the keynote speakers and things like that. And one of the members of the committee is Bob Muir. Bob is the Vice President for Business Development. He's from ATK Space Systems. Very, very helpful. He's been just a huge asset to this conference over the years. Aaron Rogers, he works military systems for the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab, and has come on as just such a bright, energetic individual, and we're just thrilled to have him on board. Dr. Charles Swenson up at Utah State, he's a professor at Utah State. He's also the director of the Center for Space Engineering, and he's really good because he brings the tie more of the science community and helps us understand what's important to the science community. And then myself, I'm the chairman, and I work for the Space Dynamics Lab, and I'm the director of military space, so I really appreciate, you know, my executive management allowing me to do this, because it really is a lot of fun for me. We also have a tremendous amount of help for the student scholarship competition. Stan Kennedy, who's the vice president of Comtech AeroAstro, he's the technical chair for the competition. He spends dozens of hours every year putting this together. And then we have huge support from the folks at SpaceX. We have a co-scholarship chair, but Lauren Dreyer, she is the Director of Business Development for SpaceX, and Gwen Shotwell, the President for SpaceX. They have just been just wonderful. They are just wonderful people, and I think they really realize the importance of the conference to the community and what it has become. And gosh, I just tell you, I just can't imagine trying to pull this thing off without those volunteers. And then we also, you know, we have a lot of session chairs and judges and whatnot and abstract reviewers that are incredibly, incredibly important to making us the conference we are. It's not only just the labor that they provide, but it's also the insight into the community. So this is, I realize it's as though it's put on by two or three people, but this conference is really put on by about 50 people from throughout the community. So that's how we hope to maintain our ties and keep going in the right direction so that we ensure that we are doing what's good for the community. And if we need to change things, we will. We have no heartburn with that because this is your conference. This isn't mine.
A couple of other things. A technology room where people can go in and use computers online that have been set up, correct?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Okay. We have a media room and people can get stories out and get online and communicate with their colleagues back home, and it worked out pretty well for us, yeah.
Absolutely. And a 64 question, and this from Harry, who is in Chicago. And Harry said, what's the situation this year on unbelievable parties thrown by SpaceX and others on Tuesday night?
So we have some great parties.
Understated.
Yeah, we have some great parties. We have, how many, I think we've got like four or five parties that are going to be happening on Tuesday night, So we have we've got your nights filled if you want to come. So we got a really good party opening social Monday night, band, drinks, food, all that sort of stuff. Tours of the Space Dynamics Lab. Tuesday night we have around town. For those of you who haven't been here, different companies like SpaceX and Comtech AeroAstro and Raytheon and these different organizations, ATK, they'll have parties at these different, you know, facilities, and boy, they put out some spreads, you know.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. They just lay out good food and good drinks. They typically have a band, and it's just, it is a great place to get to meet people. It's an easy setting to go up and talk to somebody and say, hey, I always wanted to meet you. I just haven't had the opportunity, you know. Let's exchange cards and talk later. So, and it's just a ton of fun. That is my night. I just relish that night because I just get to talk to all my buddies and get caught up. And then on Wednesday night we're gonna have that celebration party, which is out at the American West Heritage Center, and that's gonna be just a pile of fun.
Hold on a minute. You're not doing it at the Spring Hill Hotel?
We are not. This year is a little different, and we usually do it at the Spring Hill.
Yeah. So tell us about this then.
Well, so what we're gonna do is we've got everybody's invited. So we're hoping to see 1,000 people out there. It's a big outdoor venue where they really take you back to the American West, and it's horse rides and all sorts of hatchet throwing, and they teach you how to make horseshoes, and it's all sorts of stuff. But we've got a great band, we've got a great food spread. We're going to have beers from that were brewed in the state of Utah from some of the local breweries.
Where you used to do it at the Celebration Center with the miniature golf course in that ride.
Correct. It is actually further towards Salt Lake. It's a few miles further towards Salt Lake from that. It's on that same road that you, when you come from Brigham City to Logan, that's Highway 89.
Uh-huh.
And the Celebration Center is on the left-hand side of the road if you're heading towards Salt Lake. That's about a mile out of town. This is about 7 miles out of town on the right-hand side. And, this can be a lot of fun. This was something we've been wanting to do for a long time, and we figured that the 25th year would be a great year to do it. I mean, there's going to be – you're going to see some stuff. We're going to have some shootouts, and there'll be some portrayals of all sorts of fun things happening that it's just going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're excited.
Really cool. Now, for the company parties, listeners, the way you find out about them is go to you'll see the invitations, usually like a really nice postcard, on the booth tabletop. And, you know, they're just piles of them, and you just pick up the ones you want to go to. I mean, there usually are too many. You have to make some pretty hard choices.
Yeah, word gets around pretty quickly. So about Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, the word will spread of where and when the parties are going to be held and who's holding them, and you'll be able to find out all the details. And you basically just show up on Tuesday morning to the conference, and it'll take you about 5 minutes to figure out where all the parties are going to be.
And do you know if for SpaceX, Gwen or Elon is going to be there this year?
Uh, I had heard that Gwen actually has a prior commitment. I know she's trying really hard. She is such an advocate of our cause.
Oh yeah, she's usually here. She's unbelievable.
For that, she's such a good friend of mine, and she just supports us so well. And you know, by the way, they put in a ton of money.
Oh, I know.
They're scholarship competition. So I need to give a shout to her and her and Elon Musk and say thanks for all they're doing for the industry. But they have been very supportive of this conference, and they put on a dynamite party. But you know, there's other great parties as well. I'm not going to miss one of them. I'll tell you.
No, and I mean, don't eat all day, people. Although that's pretty hard to do because your snacks and your lunches. We haven't really talked about food, but my God. The snacks that are out there in between sessions and the luncheon buffet, unbelievable. I mean, this is where you want to go just to eat.
Yeah, the feedback that we get, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but the feedback we often get is that we have too much food. And we would rather err on the side of too much than not enough. Our hope is that we provide enough food so that people don't feel like they have to leave and go downtown, go off premises during the day, because we want them to stay there and interact with one another. And our thought has always been that if they have to leave the conference to get a good meal, then they're not interacting with one another, and that's the whole point of coming.
Are the lunches in the same place out under the tents on the lawn?
We got the big tents. Yeah, we got the big carnival-looking tents out on the quad in the grass. We do have a contingency plan in case we have a downpour of rain. Keep your fingers crossed that we don't have that. We've had wonderful, wonderful luck with weather, but one of these days it'll get us. But we've got a contingency plan, so we'll do our best to make sure that the weather's good for everybody.
So here's a question we've never gotten before on one of our Small Sat shows, and it shows this guy is conscious about going to Small Sat. Carl in Los Angeles, and again, I'll make another push. There is time for you to call in rather than just use email, 866-687-7223. Carl in Los Angeles says, I've been attending Small Sat for a number of years, and what I find out is that if you arrive a few minutes late, you can't park in the parking garage, and you might end up having to park so far away that it takes you 20 or 30 minutes to walk back to where the Small Sat conference is being held. Can you please make a comment about parking logistics, and
Absolutely.
Do you have anything different planned this year than past years that maybe the overflow lots are closer or something like
right.
that?
Right. So yeah, we have known that has been one of our biggest issues for a long time. You know, when we had 250 people, it wasn't an issue. It was just pretty easy. But parking on a campus of any university can be difficult. We have worked very hard this year. We actually now have two terraces. So we're going to have quite a bit more parking space. And they are very close to the student center, so I think that's going to alleviate a lot of those pressures. But no, your caller is spot on that is an issue of ours. One of the problems we had last year, we thought we were kind of getting it solved, but is that when it was time to leave and the conference got out, those terraces have gates, and you have to go through the gate one at a time, and that slowed it down so badly on the exiting the terraces that it made the getting out process very
time consuming. Yeah.
So what we've done this year is when the conference gets out, so like 5:30 at night, all the meetings are over, people go to their cars and they're all leaving basically at the same time. We're going to raise the gate and we're going to have a police officer there and we're going to just flag people out. We're just going to wave them through and they're just going to be driving out as fast as they can, and we will just keep a clicker and we'll keep count of how many people roll out for an hour, and then we'll just pay for that. We'll just cover those costs.
Well, the conference. Yeah, the parking has typically been free when you show your Small Sat badge.
Right.
And when I first was coming to Small Sat years ago, it was about 500 people were there. You could be 20 or 30 minutes late in the morning and still park in that 5-story garage or 4-story garage. Not a problem. Boy, no more. You need to be there early, because you have doubled in size since I first started attending Small Sat.
Right. So most of you will remember there's the terrace which sits right at the heart of campus. It's right next to the University Inn and right next to the Taggart Student Center. That's a great place because you only have to walk about 50 yards to get
into the campus. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the structure, yeah.
Right, but there's another terrace which was built, I think it was 2 years ago, but it was built for the new student housing, which is just to the west of that. And this year we are opening up that terrace, and we will be able to use that entire terrace because this conference is before school actually starts. So we've got an entire other terrace that is going to alleviate a lot of the pain.
And are you going to have
long duration walks?
Are you going to have good signage to guide us?
We absolutely. We are signing up, man. We're going to have signs everywhere.
Because that has been on the weak side in past conferences too. We're looking for signs or arrows.
Yeah, one thing you might want to do is just real quick before you come, just a Friday or something before you come, go to the website, and we will have a map which is really easy to download and print.
Oh, okay.
Which just has the terraces on, which will give you pointed. It's under a page called the travel page. And just go there and print that out, and then when you get to town, it'll guide you into the terrace.
Oh, okay, yeah. Conference parking, maps and directions.
Right.
Okay, absolutely.
So we realize, and absolutely, your caller is correct. We've had issues with that in the past. We are really trying hard to alleviate the pain because we realize it's painful. I know when I go to other conferences and I have to do the same thing or walk a half a mile to get in there, you know, it's a little bit frustrating, but we are giving it a new run here.
But generally speaking, for having this on a campus, and listeners, pay attention to this, because I've been at Stanford and University of Colorado, and lots of things, and the sessions are all held in different buildings. And I remember at Stanford at a conference, you know, they had to paint arrows on the sidewalk to get to this quad or that quad, which may have been a 15-minute walk from where you were. This is all in one central location, and even to go from where the meetings and the exhibit halls are to the lawn area where the lunch is, you know, it's a 1.5 minute walk unless you're handicapped and it's a little slower. Where you have the Monday night reception is in a different location, but man, everything is really compact and together. And now it sounds like you got the parking, you know, squared away so that it's really compact and together too.
We're getting pretty close. Yeah, we're gonna give this a try and see how it runs, and if we need to open up some more parking space, we certainly will. I think this is gonna alleviate. This is gonna be the 90% solution. I think we're getting close.
Absolutely, and you do need a car, I guess, to get for, if you fly into Salt Lake City. Is there any transportation way to get to Logan?
There are a couple shuttles which you can take up if you don't need to. There's one called, I think it's Cache Valley Limousine or Logan Limousine. But it's a private thing. But other than that, yeah, it's basically rental cars at the airport and drive 90 minutes.
Okay, and, you know, depending on what you do and going around to the different parties Tuesday night, you probably want a car anyway.
Yeah, right, so, and a designated driver. We are really suggesting a designated driver.
Does that mean that certain drinks are served at these parties?
There will be, absolutely. There will be adult beverages served at all those parties. There will be. This year we've also added shuttles. So, you know, if you get out and you have a few too many adult beverages and you feel like it's a little unsafe for you to be driving, we have shuttles which will take you back to your hotels anywhere in the Logan area. And then we'll help you figure out a way to get back to your car in the morning too. So we're a small community, and we don't want anybody doing something foolish and driving when they don't have to. And so we're gonna do our best to take care of everybody.
This is William, who says he's from North Carolina, and he says, I go to a lot of conferences these days, and they seem to have quite a few sessions devoted to space policy, which of course seems to be in flux both last year and this year. Looking over your agenda, it doesn't seem like this conference pays much attention to policy. It is technology oriented. If you're not a heavy technology person or an aerospace engineer, will you be lost at your conference?
I don't think so. I get the point though. The point is well taken. But we have tried very hard to maintain a very technical forum. This is for the engineers and the people who are pushing the research and development at their different organizations. Although you'll find we have a huge percentage of the people our presidents, vice presidents, directors, and things like that from the different organizations. The policy issue, we have had in the past, we have had a few each year, different sessions on policy. This year, we're trying to devote it, you know, more again to the technical side. But the policy, some of the policy things that, that I have found is at least more most beneficial to me, or when I'm able to grab the one of our high-ranking customers and get them off to the side for a cup of coffee and a donut or something, and just talk and just ask questions about what are their policies and where are things going. I know one of the major issues has been ITAR, and we've had some fairly good ad hoc off-site sessions on ITAR. You'll hear at the, I don't know if they'll talk policy at any of the NASA town hall meetings, but they may. But yeah, you're right. This is a little more technically oriented. I don't believe though, because our presentations are fairly short. We maintain a schedule where we only allow our presenters to present for 15 minutes. So because of that, that really drives them, although it is very technical, it drives them to maintain high level. If they had a half an hour, they'd get down into the transistors, right? They just can't do that in 15 minutes. So they typically keep it high level, and then go off on side meetings and get in more detail with some of the side sessions they have. You'll see 25%, I'm just guessing, of the attendees of the conference aren't technical at all. And they come back year and year and year again, trying to talk to customers and find out what's going on. So
I'm not technical. My background is in business, and I use SmallSat as a way for me to learn more about aerospace engineering and technical issues. And so I find people more than willing to answer questions and to in a sense kind of teach and tutor you as long as you're just not trying to command all their time all the time. But it's a great learning place, and I've never had anyone, dismiss me or say no or anything like that, because I'm asking, for help on a technical issue that they've been talking about.
Right, right.
Their papers, however, are longer and do more elaborate on the technical stuff other than their talks, right?
Right. Yeah, so there is a CD-ROM that we'll hand out at the conference, and those they will have their papers and abstracts on that CD-ROM, and then later on we will send you the presentations which they actually presented at the conference. So papers and abstracts immediately available to all those attending, and then presentations within a few weeks after that.
And this is Lincoln in Seattle. He says, I don't see it on your website, but by chance, do you web stream any of the keynotes or any of the material?
We have not to date web streamed any of the keynotes, no. We actually have been talking about that. Those are some of the things that we're trying to look at in the future. But as of today and as of this year, we will not web stream those.
And no. The sessions are not web streamed either, are they?
I'm sorry, say again?
The sessions, the panel.
No, they're not. They're not.
Okay, so.
But we are certainly, trying to figure out different ways, with the change in technologies and whatnot that are happening and the different communications. We're trying to figure out what's best for the conference and best for the community. So we may get there someday, but not right now.
Okay, and as we're coming up near the end of the program, for people who are going to have questions about what we've been talking about, do you direct them to you, or is there an email question line for the conference? What do you suggest for questions and comments for them?
I'm sorry, I missed that one.
For listeners who will want to ask questions about the conference when they hear this on archives, how do they follow up, get in touch? Do they do it with you? Is there a way to do it on the website? What do you recommend?
Absolutely. The best way really is to go to www.smallsat.org, and we have two separate contacts there, which are really your primary contacts. One is for the conference side, the technical conference side, and really any of the questions can go to her, but that's Sonia Warner. and it's got all of her phone numbers and emails and stuff like that on there. And the others is if you're an exhibitor and you want to talk specifically about the exhibits, you can do the same thing and go and Blair Moore. She's the name on there, and it's got all of her contact information, and they're just there to help and do whatever they can to help you out.
Okay, and closing comments, pearls of wisdom, what would you like to leave us with in anticipation of the conference this year?
Well, one thing that I just learned and I just wanted to share with you was we were talking about the web streaming. We are going to try this year to video and get the keynote speeches, the video of those, onto the CDs that we send out. So hopefully those will be available on the CDs that we ship out. So that may be a little bit helpful. Other than that, you know, well, at least in the community that I run in, which is, you know, the small set folks,
uh-huh.
This is, for that week, Logan, Utah is the place to be. It's the central hub. That's where you'll find all your customers. Again, we have 350 different organizations represented here. It really is an international conference. We'll have people from all over the world, from 20 different countries, even customers from many, many different countries. Good chance to meet with, you know, fairly high-ranking officials, customer officials, as well as, you know, if you just want to get down and dirty and talk engineering or even do some job searches and see if you can find some good students to bring into your organization. Or if you're a student and you want to look for a job, great place to show up and go mill with some people and find out where you'd like to work and send in some resumes. So,
yes, and people have been known to get jobs right at Small
yep.
Sat. So
absolutely. I've overheard many conversations. We will pay you this much if you start next week. So yeah, it happens. It's not
absolutely there is recruiting. And one final comment, if somebody is coming there and let's say they bring their spouse or something like that, are there activities in and around Logan where the non-space cadet member of the family can go enjoy themselves?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the spouses or they can come to some of these events too. I think there's some registration things on there where if they'd like to come out to the Wednesday night, for example, they can come out to that. We'd love to have them, you know, participate in some of those events. That's fun for us too, to get to meet, you know, people's better halves. But there is a lot to do in Logan. You know, if you have a rental car, you can go up to Bear Lake. We're a very outdoors sort of environment. You know, hiking, biking, mountain climbing, fishing, you know, swimming. There are all sorts of things to do in this valley. It's definitely, if you like the outdoors, you won't be bored.
Is there a university museum or anything like that at Utah State or in Logan?
There are a few. And there's a great downtown. There's a great opera company, and they provide some operas and musicals and plays and things like that. So there are things to do away from the conference. Kind of a unique environment. We're a small, you know, there's only 100,000 people in Cache Valley. If you want to do, you know, there's lots of concerts, even some bigger events in Salt Lake, which is 90 minutes away. So that's certainly not outside the ability to go down there for an evening and see a show or go to a really nice place to eat. Salt Lake offers quite a bit. But, you know, you got to drive a little bit. But the area is just, if you like the outdoors, what a cool place to be.
And last comment or question from you, just so people will know. It's very casual. It's not business attire. There's no coat and tie, correct?
There typically will have, you know, the people who are speaking on stage will typically wear a jacket and a tie. But it is a sort of a business casual environment. You know, slacks and a company shirt with a company logo or something like that works just as well. And it's usually hot here at that time of year. You know, it'll be 90 plus degrees and. So you know, dressing comfortably in a nice polo with a company logo on it is probably what you'll find 75% of the people wearing.
Okay, anything that you want to say that I've forgotten to ask you or that you want to talk about real quickly?
Boy, that's it. We are really excited. This is fun for us. You know, this is a fun thing to do for us, and so we're excited. We love to have the world here, and this is our week to have the world here in little old Logan, Utah. And we just appreciate you giving the opportunity to talk a little bit about it.
And listeners, I certainly second that it's fun, but I want to tell you one other thing, and then we'll let Pat go and get back to work. Is many of you have incredible interest in SpaceX, for example, Orbital, what's happening with companies like Lockheed, Boeing, ATK. They all have their top representatives at their booths and at this SmallSat conference. And you have ample opportunity to go up and ask all the questions you want and to make your own conclusions, draw your own analysis, whatever you want to do based on what you hear. They're all going to be there, and you can just go down the line, and you're right in front of the people making all sorts of space happen, not just SmallSat.
You're right. There used to be a day when small companies were what made SmallSat happen. Now this is the day of everybody. Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, everybody is getting involved. They all have programs that are running small satellites. So you'll see everybody here.
Absolutely. Pat, I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, and thank you again for being on the Space Show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, listeners, that's it, and then we're back again on Sunday. Don't miss our regular Sunday Space Show program. Goodbye from Dr. Pat Patterson and myself and the Space Show.